The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I think Nick has a children's sermon for us.
Children, thank you so much for being here. Today, in the adventures of Jesus, Jesus says a very important line, I know my own, and my own know me. What does it mean to know somebody? Well, my routine, Monday through Thursday, is when I'm done with work, call up the Learning Garden, go pick up Gemma, and then from there, we go straight to school, to the corner store, because she wants her juice, she wants a candy, and then from there, we go straight to the park. Now, if there's somebody selling honey or pickles, jarred pickles right there across the street from the sheriff's department, we usually stop by there, and we usually get something so we can take it back home with us. And so Gemma usually plays for an hour. And in all the weeks and months that I've been doing this, I've noticed something very cool. There's like this voice that every dad and mom gives. Sometimes I usually see a lot of moms playing with their kids, and then dad will come up because he got off of work early, and then I say, hey, he doesn't say the child's name, he just says, hey, you, and the child, dad, and runs, and there's dad. Or sometimes it's the reverse, and it's mom coming to the park because she got off work early, and so mom will go, hey, you, doesn't say the kid's name, but the kid just knows, that's mom, that's dad. I could be walking towards the car, Gemma could be on the other side of the park, I don't even have to look at her, and say, Gemma! And I snap my fingers, and she knows, oh, time to go. And she comes on with me. Sometimes it's a fight, but she usually knows, whenever I call her name, it's time to go. Now, how do these kids know who their parents are without looking? Because they know our voices. You know your dad's voice. I'm pretty sure your mom and dad know their mom and dad's voice. I'm pretty sure I see my friend Mr. Kohler right here. If he just snapped his fingers and said, Morgan would be, that's granddad. Or if he said, Robin, oh, that's dad, he's calling me, and come on over and run. You know your parents' voice. So when Jesus says, I know my own, and my own know me, what does that mean? Well, just like kids, you know your parents' voices. Us Christians, we are children of God, and we know our Heavenly Father's voice. So whenever he says anything, you're praying and he says your name, you know that's God talking to you. I'll give you a perfectly good example, a better one. Now, I don't know the full story of Pastor Tim Muehlbrecht, but I'm pretty sure he was praying at one point, and God said, hey, Tim, it's time to wear the cloth. And he got the call and said, well, I know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Little boys and little girls, I don't know what you're going to do when you grow up, but you're probably going to be praying one day, and he's probably going to look at you and say, Molly, it's time. Bailey, it's time. It's time. I don't know what that time is. That's going to be up to you to figure out. But if you hear a voice calling back and talking back to you, that's not some weird monster in the closet underneath your bed. Monsters don't exist. That's probably God talking to you. You should probably come find Pastor Tim, me, or go talk to one of your parents about it, because I'm pretty sure 100% of the time that is going to be God calling you. The next important part of this story is what Jesus says. He says, I lay down my life for my sheep. Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. He says, I take care of my flock. We are all his flock. I will take care of you until death. Jesus suffered death, so we do not have to. When we die, we get that extra life. Just like Jesus resurrected, we too will be resurrected, and we will join him in what St. John calls the new heaven and the new earth. And that is all I have for today. Pastor Tim, it's all yours.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He makes a distinction between being the good shepherd and being the hired hand. The good shepherd is the one who owns the sheep. In Palestine, in that day and time, there were wild animals, and really, when they grazed their sheep, there were no fences around. The shepherd would live with the sheep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, during grazing season. And they would simply go from place to place wherever they could find the greenest grass, the richest, the tallest, the greenest grass, most nutritious grass, and then also the water as well then too. Somewhere's close with a water supply. And so they would wander from all over the place. And they would be living together as a group, as a shepherd and as a sheep. But sometimes the greenest pastures would lead you out into some of the most wilderness areas. And there would be wild animals. There could be wolves, there could be wild dogs, and even in that day and time, there were lions that were there. And so when that danger would present itself, either a pack of wild dogs or a pack of wolves or a lion would come. And if you're just a hired hand, well, you're going to try to do the best you can with your sheep, but when your own life is in danger, you're going to run away. You don't have anything invested in that sheep other than that is your job. And so if you lose your job, well, you'll just go find another job. But a shepherd, on the other hand, is actually the owner of the sheep. He has his whole life invested in that flock of sheep. His wealth is all tied up in those animals. And not only that, the animals are even more to him than just his livelihood. It is his livelihood. But at the same time, they are his companions. They are his friends to a certain extent. They're more like pets to this good shepherd. And so that good shepherd is willing to do anything to protect that flock, even to the point of laying down his own life. Because if he loses his flock, he loses his life anyway, because that flock is his whole life. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am willing to lay down my life for my sheep. And that's exactly what he did. And that's what we celebrate during this Easter season. Jesus laying down his life for his flock of sheep. His flock of sheep are us. It is us who believe in Jesus Christ. He laid down his life for us. Sheep are kind of funny animals. I haven't been around sheep a whole lot. And I do know, though, they have a reputation of not being too bright. And sometimes they have a sense to wander off or to get into trouble. They may go get tangled up in some briars or brambles. They may take a bad step trying to reach down a ravine just to get that one last piece of grass, and they may tumble over. They may get stuck in the mud. And so they tend sometimes just to get into a little bit of trouble. If you've noticed, the shepherd carrying his shepherd's staff, y'all know what a shepherd's staff looks like. It's a long stick, and it's got a crook on the end of it, curved on the end of it. The reason for that crook is so that shepherd can rescue his sheep. He could take his staff and loop that crook over the neck of the sheep and pull him out of the briars or the brambles or the mud or the upper ravine or whatever else, or pull his leg up or with a lamb, maybe even pull the whole body up with that crook. It was designed, it's a tool designed for a shepherd to be able to take care of his sheep. And when danger would come, either from an animal, a wolf, wild dogs, a lion, or sometimes even bandits, thieves trying to steal sheep, that shepherd would stand up to him. He would have his staff, may have a slingshot, but he would stand up to whatever danger came between him and his sheep. And that's exactly what God has done for us. We have a tendency to wander off. We have a tendency to stray. We have a tendency to get into trouble. But yet, that good shepherd leads us back. Sometimes he may need to yank us back, but he does. He leads us back to him. And he is willing to lay down his life for us, which is exactly what he did as he went to the cross and as he was raised from the dead. Jesus laid down his life for us. Another thing that a shepherd does is make sure that the flock has good pastures, has good grass, and also has good water. As we read through the 23rd Psalm this morning, he makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. A good shepherd makes sure that his sheep are well cared for, that they do get good, nutritious grass. They get the grazing, they get the food that they need, and also, too, that they have good, clean water to be able to drink. A good shepherd is watching over his sheep all the time, making sure they don't get diseases, but he makes sure that they are fed and watered. That's the same thing God does for us. He provides us with everything that we need in our lives: food, clothing, home and family, daily work. He gives us everything we need. And even more importantly than that, he gives us the spiritual care that we need, letting us know that no matter what happens to us in this life, that God is right there beside us. God has gone through that with us. Jesus Christ lived on this earth and he suffered everything that we have suffered. He knows what it is to hurt. He knows what it is to be rejected. He knows what it is to be done wrong to. Jesus was willing to do all of that for us. He stands between us and the danger that comes. And he provides us with our food and with our water. He provides us with the food of daily scripture, of being able to read those stories or to hear those stories of how God has interacted with people throughout the ages, and to hear their faith stories of what God has done for them. And also then that those scriptures that help guide us and help lead us into a more pure life, a life that is pleasing to God. It's in baptism that Christ waters us. Those waters come flowing down over us and wash us clean once again, making us whole, making us perfect, cleansing us for righteousness in God, so that we are acceptable to God. We are washed clean in our baptism, in the waters of baptism. He feeds us through Holy Communion, giving us the strength for strong faith in Jesus Christ through that Holy Communion, assuring us of forgiveness of sins, assuring us of that promise for eternal life. The Good Shepherd feeds and waters us. And another thing that a good shepherd does is he knows his flock. He knows who that flock is. I'm amazed a lot of times when I go visit some of the ranchers around of how well they know their animals. To me, they look like a bunch of cows out there in the field. I don't know those cows. I wasn't there when they were born. I wasn't there to doctor them. I wasn't there to work them or to inoculate them or whatever those animals needed or to feed them. I'm not with those animals all the time, but the rancher is. The rancher knows who those animals are. And I have even known some ranchers who have named each one of their cows. They actually know the names of each one of their cows. I did experience that at one point in my life. I did work on a dairy farm. And When I first started working on the dairy farm, again, all the cows looked the same. They were black and white. They were Holsteins. But then as I started working, I noticed, well, their markings are different. Even though they're black and white, the markings of the colors are different. And some cows were larger, some cows were smaller. And as I continued to work, I learned which cow was going to give the most milk, which one would give the least, maybe which cow needed some doctoring, maybe one that needs a little bit more feed. I learned those animals. They didn't have names, but they had ear tags. And so I knew they were named by their number, is what their names were. And so I started to know those cows, of which cow was which. It was really interesting, too, because those cows actually had a pecking order. When I was in the parlor, in the milking parlor, I could not see in the holding barn of where they were. And there was a electronic door that I could push a button, the door would slide open, and the next cow would come walking in. They'd be ready to eat some feed and also be milked. I got to the point where I could tell you which cow was coming in next. There was a certain and distinct order that those cows would come in into that barn. Also, too, I learned which cow was most likely to try to kick me, and also which cow was most likely to swish a wet, nasty tail in my face. I learned that by experience. The good shepherd knows his sheep. He calls them by name. It is in baptism that Christ calls us by name. John, you have been sealed, marked with the cross of Christ forever, and you are my child. You are mine. You are a part of this flock. You are part of the body of Christ. You belong. And I will guard and keep you, and I will watch over you, and I will protect you, and I am willing to lay down my life for you. We have been marked. We have been called by name. It says in the Bible that God knows us intimately. He knows even how many hairs we have on our head. For some of us, it's getting a little easier to count. But he knows us that well. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. I don't even know that. But he knows us that well. And he calls us by name. There was a trial in England a number of years back between two shepherds. They were fighting over a well-bred, expensive sheep. One shepherd was claiming, that's my sheep. The other shepherd was claiming, no, that's my sheep. And they both brought in witnesses to help their case, bolster their case, and the case was really going nowhere. And so the judge had an idea, and he told the bailiff, go get the sheep and put it in the side room next to the courtroom. And so the bailiff did that. Okay, and the judge says, okay, now you call your sheep. And that shepherd started calling the sheep. Nothing happened. And then the judge says to the other shepherd, okay, you call your sheep. And that shepherd let out a most peculiar yell, and in comes bounding the sheep into the courtroom. And the case was solved. Who belonged that sheep? That sheep knew the voice of the shepherd. He knew who that shepherd was. He knew what flock he belonged to. And there's one other interesting thing here in this gospel lesson that we read this morning. Is that Jesus says he has other flocks that we don't know about. Usually this is interpreted that Jesus came not only for the house of Israel, not only for the chosen people of God, but he came for all people. He came for everyone. And because of that, we too belong to his flock. That message has spread all the way from Jesus to his disciples, throughout the generations to us, calling us into worship. Jesus sends his Holy Spirit into us, and he calls us by name. He calls, he gathers, he lightens all of us, bringing us into that one flock where we will be cared for, where we will be protected, where he gives us our food and our water, where he provides for our spiritual health, where he gives us everything that we need in this life and is willing to rescue us when we fall into trouble, and also he is willing to lay down his life for us. Jesus knows us well. He knows us intimately. And he calls each and every one of us by name. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.